The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, this morning, my topic is you have need for endurance. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the work or the will of God, you may receive the promise." Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read a little more of that. We're going to begin with verse 28. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." He's just pointing out the importance of understanding how the law was the basis of the society for the Jewish people, and that the only way that anybody could be condemned to death was upon the testimony of two or three people. They had to have witnesses that said, "Yes, I saw them do this." "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who was trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" He's pointing out to us that it is, even though the law was important, it was a natural law, and that death would take place, what's going to happen spiritually to those who reject Jesus or who walk away from him? Something just happened to my sound. We all right? All right, good. "For we know him. We know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." We need to recognize that. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But I want to tell you something. David one time had sinned before God. He numbered the children, the fighting men of Israel, and God didn't like that. We're having issues, aren't we? Do I need to move back up on the platform? Will that help? Just fading in and out. Do we need a battery? Okay. Let me take it off. All right. Not had this issue before. Praise God. New computer. Hallelujah. What did you think of the picture this morning? Fantastic, huh? Good stuff. Hallelujah. Much better. Okay. I'm not used to this, so we'll see how it goes. I can do it, though. Amen. All right. "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." And I was about to say that David had numbered the children of Israel, the fighting men, and his general tried to stop him from doing it because he knew it was the wrong thing to do, and yet David persisted in it. How many know sometimes leaders can be ignorant, do stupid things? Amen. That's just the way it is. You know, we're human. And we sometimes make mistakes. And David prevailed in this situation, and God brought judgment upon him. And God gave him several things that could take place over the children of Israel. And David said that he would rather fall into the hands of a merciful God. And he let God judge him rather than choose what needed to be done to for his judgment. I think that's awesome to recognize that that's the kind of God we have. He's a merciful God. We should place ourselves in His hand. And even though the Scripture says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, I'd rather fall into the hands of my living God than into the hands of man. Amen. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured great struggles with sufferings. Here, this is an important part of our faith, that we recognize that we can look back and build our faith. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproach and tribulation, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plunder of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring promise for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of endurance, brothers and sisters. This is a difficult task that we have before us, to remain faithful to the Lord. Yes, Jesus has done everything for us. Yes, Christ paid the price. And all we have to do is accept Jesus as our personal Savior. But we have responsibility as well. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We can't just mouth some words and say Jesus is my Savior and go back out the doors or wherever it happens in our life and expect everything to be A-okay. And we're going to be able to live the same way we used to live, and heaven is waiting us. That's not what the Scripture teaches us. It teaches us that we must endure to the end. Paul likened it to a race. He said, you run the race as if to obtain the prize. This is a tough race that we're in. In the Greek society, the races and the athletic events that they had, there was only one champion. They didn't have first, second, and third place. We do that to make ourselves feel better, right? Because we tried really hard and I came in second. But in Greek society, you either won or you was a loser. And that's what Paul's talking about. You got to run to win this thing. You got to fight to win this thing. You got to expect that you can win this thing. You have everything that is necessary on your behalf. You have been given all that you need to win this thing, to come out triumphant. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Endures to the end. Now, I know a guy that runs marathons. In fact, he was at the Boston Marathon when the bombing took place. He said he was a few blocks away. Of course, he heard everything. But he runs, in order to prepare for races and to stay fit, he runs 8 to 10 miles a day. How many in here run 8 to 10 miles a day? No hands. I know a couple guys that run 5 miles a day, 8 to 10 miles a day. And when he gets closer to a marathon, he ups it and runs more than 8 to 10 miles a day. Wow. He's a man, as far as I'm concerned. Because I don't want to run 8. I don't know how anybody could run 8 to 10 miles a day. I hate running, period. It's not fun. But if you are convinced that you want to accomplish a goal, you will do things like running 8 to 10 miles a day that will help you accomplish that goal. You know, there's an incredible athletic competition called triathlons. Have anybody ever heard of the triathlons? Okay, triathlons are, they can vary. They have all kinds of different sporting events that you can participate in. Usually, it could be anything from running, biking, swimming, weightlifting, throwing, you know, all kinds of different activities in a triathlon. But the idea is it's three. So you do three of those, any of those things. Well, in the late 70s, early 80s, a group of guys got together and decided they wanted to come up with a triathlon that was the most grueling on the face of the earth. So they decided that what they were going to do is in their triathlons, they were going to have, you were going to have to swim 2.4 miles, you're going to have to bike 112 miles, and you're going to have to run 26.6 miles. All within a 17-hour period of time. It's called the Ironman Triathlon. And they have Ironman Triathlons all over the world, and people qualify. And then one time a year, they have the ultimate Ironman Triathlon, and that's in Hawaii. And it's televised just about every year, and the Ironmen of Ironmen go to that triathlon. Now, here's the thing about that. If you complete a triathlon, that triathlon, you've trained for it and you complete one, it doesn't matter, you know, where you come in. If you complete it within 17 hours, you are considered an Ironman. And you could see why. It'd be an incredible feat to accomplish. Those who just want to finish have to train 12 hours a week. How many have 12 hours a week you want to put into training for something? None of us. Those who do it professionally train 25 to 35 hours a week. They put their whole heart, soul, and mind in. And here's the thing, it's not just training. It's diet. They stay on a very strict diet. And it's a mental attitude as well. They train, they eat properly, and they keep their mind fit as well. Now, here, what I'm trying to tell you about this is it's a lifestyle. It's a whole rounded lifestyle. They don't just think about training for an Ironman competition once every 3 or 4 days, every day of their life. They get up, they think about preparing, they think about running, they think about eating properly, they think about the right mental attitude. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what serving Jesus Christ is all about. It's a lifestyle. It's not just something we think about on Sunday mornings when we come in here and worship the Lord. It's every day of our life. We should be striving to win the prize, to accomplish the goal. Well, there's some things that I want to talk about this morning in regards to that. The first one is faith. Faith is an incredibly important part of winning the race. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Amen? And in this analogy this morning, we run by faith and not by sight. We're going to run with all our might, and we're going to do it not because we see the goal that we're trying to accomplish right now, but we know it's out there, and we're running by faith. And we got to apply our faith every day of our life to serving Jesus Christ. And you have to do things. You have to walk in a way, or run in a way, that it causes your faith to grow. Let God speak to you so that you can operate by faith every day of your life. He's speaking to your heart. He wants you to hear His voice. Recently, Tammy had a situation happen with her. We're really having sound issues this morning, aren't we? Praise God. In Jesus' name, we're going to be all right. Amen. A few years ago, we were going through some really difficult times. We went to Pastor Ron's church in Tennessee to a Fresh Oil New Wine function that they had. And during that time, they had some prayer shawls. Tammy purchased a prayer shawl, and she felt like that Pastor Ron was supposed to pray over it. And so we went forward, and he prayed over it for us. And God just moved in a
incredible, miraculous way after that on our behalf. And I don't want to go into any of those details, but I just want you to know that that was an important part of our life. And Tammy, every time we looked at it, we could see God used that to move in our life. It was an object of faith for us. Well, recently, Tammy, just last week, a couple weeks ago, God spoke to Tammy to give it away. Now, at first she said, I'll loan it to them, God. But she said as the Holy Spirit kept speaking to her, she was supposed to give it away. So she did. She gave it away. She gave it to the person that she was supposed to. The very next Sunday, Ron, who sits in the back sometimes, he's not here this morning, he's out ministering, came in with a prayer shawl that he had received from T.L. Osborne. If you don't know who T.L. Osborne is, he's one of the great fathers of the faith. But anyhow, he had received that prayer shawl, and he walked up to Tammy and he said, here, I believe I'm supposed to give this to you. Incredible. But that's not the whole story. Then God spoke to her and said, you're supposed to have a certain person take this and wear it during a difficult time that they're going through. And I'm not prepared to share any of this morning, but I just want you to know, God, because of Tammy's ability to trust her God and have faith in Him, there was a miraculous outcome in another person's life. Not only our life, but another person's life. These are the kind of things that build our faith. We grow in faith. We recognize that faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking God. What's that mean? That means seeking Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Diligently, putting everything you've got into it, every day of your life. And these are the kind of things that build us up and cause us to recognize that our God is working on our behalf. And in the next situation that occurs in our life, we can look back on this. God did that for us before. God's going to do greater things in the future. I can give you story after story of what God has done in our life. And it's just a part of building faith. Faith is important. You must have faith to endure because God wants you to endure to the end. For you have need to endure. We all do. This endurance thing is difficult because basically endurance means to actively resist weariness and defeat. How many have been weary and felt defeated in the recent past? Maybe right now, today. Endurance will help you. Faith will help you gain endurance. Webster says the ability to do something difficult for a long time. Well, praise God, I hope it's a long time that we keep striving forward for all of us. Unless Jesus comes back right away. We all would like that, right? We're prepared. You better be ready. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Get our lives together. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you want to build your faith, if you want to be ready, if you want to endure, you need to grow your faith. And the way you do that is hearing the word of God. That's why your Bible time is important. That's why being here, studying, hearing the word of God preached. That's why being in the presence of God, going to life groups, anytime you can get, you can hear the word of God, listening to gospel or God, Christian music, whatever kind you prefer. Those kind of things build up your faith instead of tear it down. Listen, the things of the world will tear you down. It'll destroy you. Listen, the things that are happening in this world, if you get focused on that, it'll tear you apart. It'll scare you. It'll bring fear into your life. And you'll not walk by faith because where there's fear, there's no faith. Faith is important. Look, we've got to apply ourselves. According to the statistics that I just read, people are spending 3.5 hours a day watching TV and 2.5 hours a day in recreation. You put that together, you realize that we don't have much time left to do anything that we should be doing for the Lord. We're spending most of our time pleasing our flesh. I can tell you this, sitcoms are not going to get you to heaven. In fact, the ones that I have seen, and I prefer not to watch them, will take you in the other direction. I don't know if there's any good ones out there. Most TV is garbage. Now I'm stepping on some toes this morning, I know. But this is reality. Guard yourself. Be careful what you allow to come in through your eyes, your ears, and your senses. That's why building your faith is so important, so that you can walk by faith. You know, Chris Deemer, where are you back there, Chris? Wave your hand. Okay. Yeah, everybody see Chris. Plays guitar up here, helps with the sound. He's awesome. Praise God. Thank Chris, our sound team, Gary, everybody back there. Our media team, just praise the Lord. I just appreciate everybody for the things they're doing. Running the race, enduring. We're going to endure to the end. Amen. But I was going to say about Chris, a few years ago, he got a job and it took him to down in Charleston area. And he was gone for some time. But during that period of time, he just kept growing in his faith. And he kept believing that God wanted him to move back to this area. But there wasn't a job in this area with his company. So he kept praying. He kept praying. And as he prayed, the Holy Spirit created a position for Chris Deemer in this area so he could come back home. That's incredible. But that's the kind of stuff that God wants to work in every person's life in this room. Faith. Walk by faith. Understand faith. Hear the word. Build your faith. Grow in faith. Understand you please God with faith. I want to please God. Nothing else pleases God. You can cry all you want. That doesn't move him. You can whine. I've done a lot of that. You can complain. But the only thing that moves God is faith. By faith. Praise the Lord. Build up our faith. Encourage you in faith. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans 12. We'll begin with verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. To God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For you say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Isn't that incredible? God has given each person a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. Something to work with. Something to begin with. Something to build on. A measure of faith. So we being many are one body in Christ and the individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to that grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, he's saying, listen, you're going to do all these things based on the amount of faith that you have. Every one of you have been given a measure of faith. What are you going to do with that faith? The things that I talked about earlier, those kind of things were building faith in our life. Everything that we've gone through in our life has built our faith and caused us to be able to go on to the next level. I want to tell you something. There are times when you go through things that you wished you didn't have to go through. But when it's over, you're glad it's done. Because God lifts you up. He encourages you. He builds you up. He causes you to be stronger and better in that situation. And not everything that we start is going to go on for the rest of our lives. God will call you into a position at times to do something. And then there's going to be an end. There's a season for everything. Now, whether I don't like this, I hate it. But there, I have to admit the fact that there are times when people come here, they're here for a season, and God moves them on to some other place. If I said that that was pleasant for me, I would be lying to you. It's very painful when people have to move on. Because I feel like this is the best place in the world. But God has plans sometimes. And sometimes you start something, you do it for a while, and God moves you on to do something else. In our life, in mine and Tammy's, Jim and Mary Huffin were a part of it. We started a group home for troubled teenagers. And we did this in Athens, outside of the Athens area. And it was incredible, some of the miracles that took place while we were preparing to do this. We put all the information together. We found a home, a 6,000 square foot facility that we had to completely remodel. We accomplished that in a year. One thing after another. God opened doors for that ministry to happen. And it happened, and we started that ministry. And then about 4 years into it, Tammy and I started realizing that, hey, maybe we're not going to do this for the rest of our life. We thought we were when we started it. We thought we were going to do that, but it just didn't. And I could give you all kinds of excuses. We were wearing down, other things happening. The state intervened. They were really hindering our Christian witness to the teenagers, and just numerous things. But the reality was, what we had to come to grips was that we had come to the end of our season for that ministry. And that's not easy, because I went all over this area, Athens and Meg's area, telling people that God had called us to this ministry. I spoke in churches and raised money, support for that ministry. I told people that this was what God had called us to. And then I had to turn around now at this point in our life and say, it's over? What were people going to think? What was going to be their attitude toward us? How were they going to, they were going to think that we were failures. How many have ever experienced something like that in your life? I want you to know, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God is doing. And God was doing something in our life at that time. He moved us on, and probably within a year, that's when I accepted the position as pastor at South Bethel. So God had a plan. You got to know God has a plan for your life. God has a hope and a future. I know you've gone through some things. I know it's difficult. But there is hope and there is a future for you. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is in Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, add to your faith virtue. And actually, it says a lot more, but all the things that it talks about there, I really feel like they're really a part of what we refer to as virtue or moral good behavior or character. Character in the Webster says it, the way someone thinks, feels, and behaves. I don't know if you realize this or not, but there are a lot of people that pretend like they think and feel a certain way, but eventually the behavior gets them.
Amen.
Amen. Character is an extremely important part of being a believer. Les Bowling at our meetings last week, he said, your gift can take you places, your character can't keep you. And we've seen that over and over. National ministries, local ministries, people that were tremendously gifted. They had the ability and they had the anointing of God in their life, but their character destroyed it all. Brothers and sisters, it is necessary for us to work on our character constantly so that we can endure to the end. God wants you to endure. And we all have character flaws. I'd like to say we don't. I'd like to stand up here and say, man, I'm the closest thing to perfect as you can get. But you all know that's not true. The most perfect person on the face of the earth that I know of. Yes, Jesus Christ was the only perfect one that ever walked. But Tammy, my wife, comes real close. That's right. Now you all tell her I said that. Because I give her a hard time sometimes. But listen. Character is big. If we're going to endure to the end, we've got to have our character right. We've got to have faith in our God, and we've got to have character. For you have need of endurance so that you can endure to the end. Samson is a good example of what I'm talking about. Samson was anointed of God in the book of Judges. You can read about Samson. But Samson was anointed, a mighty man, a powerful man. He even took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines. One man. Incredible warrior. But his character could not keep him in the place that God had placed him. His character broke down. His desire for Philistine women got in the way. Many a good man has been destroyed by women. It's true, isn't it, Mary? Down with women? No, 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 no. Down with my comment. Oh, nobody thought it was funny except you, Mary. I mean. Women aren't the trouble, aren't the problem. It's the man's character. But I'm not letting you women off the hook. Your character is important. Everyone's character. It will destroy you. If you're not able to handle these difficult situations as God lifts you up, your character will find you out. And it will destroy your life. Samson found that out. It destroyed him. But thank God, even when men make mistakes, or when men do wrong and they know they're doing wrong, men and women, we have a merciful God. And God showed up on behalf of Samson at the end of his life. Because he cried out and he repented. See, praise God that we have that. Otherwise, we have God's mercy and God's grace. Otherwise, we'd all be doomed. The transformation of your character is very important. Now, I know that many of you have been a character most of your life before you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How many can say they've been a character? Amen. Yeah. But God wants to turn you into a new character, a new creature in Christ. And he's been doing that. He's been working. And he continues to work. If you're a new believer in Jesus Christ, God wants to continue working on your character. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Now, we just read this. So that you transform your thinking. It's basically what it says. Transform your mind. So that you're no longer conformed to the world. And that's what we were before we believe, before we received Christ, we're conformed to the world. The world's way of doing things seemed to be okay. The world's way of doing things seemed to fit our life. It was comfortable. But no longer should it be comfortable for a believer in Jesus Christ. Your character has to change. And your mind will change your character when you renew it with the Word of God. It'll send you in a new direction. Character is extremely important in our lives. Renew your mind, believers. Renew it with the Word of God. Renew it with preaching and teaching and music. You know, listen to God's music, not the world's music. For you have need of endurance. That's what you have need of, endurance. The last thing I'm going to share with you this morning. We need faith. We need character. But it all has to be motivated by love. Galatians 5, 6 says, and Paul, before I quote this, I'd like to tell you what Paul was defending the Galatian believers who were Gentiles against the Jewish believers who told them that they had to follow the law and they had to be circumcised. And Paul makes it very plain to them. Galatians 5, 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It means nothing in the sight of God anymore. It did at one time. It set the people of God apart. But he said it's not that kind of circumcision that works any longer. He says what really works is faith working through love. Love has to be our motivation. Love has to be our power. Love has to be the thing that causes us to move in faith, to want our character to be right. It all has to be motivated by love. My friend Keith Wasserman says, love is a verb. It's an action word. And if we really love God like we say we do, love God and love people, we will put that into action in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul writes what we refer to as the love chapter. And he says that if you don't have love, everything else makes you nothing but a noisemaker. You can say all kinds of things. You can do great things. Cast mountains out. Heal the sick. Do all the things that the Bible says that the believers will do. But if it's not motivated by love, it means nothing. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God in our lives is love. Jesus came and died because of love, because he loved us so much. You love no matter what. We love even when we don't feel like it. You know how tired I get hearing husbands and wives say, I don't feel love anymore. It's a cop out. Because love is not just a feeling. I agree. You need to have romantic love. You need to feel love. It's a good thing. But if you can't love when you don't like that person, like their behavior, there's big problems with your relationship with God. Because we're supposed to love in action, not just feeling. We have this feel-good attitude in the church. I have to feel everything. I don't always feel love toward my wife. I don't always feel love toward Randy. And I like Randy. And I do love Randy. He's a friend. He's a brother. But sometimes when we're playing basketball, I don't like Randy. It's true, isn't it? But I love Randy. And that's, you see, we've got to, I have to, when we're on a basketball court, I have to put my feelings aside with anybody and everybody because I've got to show love toward those people, no matter how competitive I am at the time. And that's hard sometimes. I want to win. And if somebody gets in the way of me winning, if I'm not careful, my flesh will deal with it rather than my spirit. So it has to come from the motivation. Everything we do has to come from motivation of love. And I'm not telling you I'm perfect, and I want you to understand you're going to fail. But keep going back to love. Keep going back to love. Keep going back to Jesus. In Revelation, he told the Apostle John that one of the churches, he said, you've left your first love. Get back to your first love. Love overall. You need love, for you need to endure to the end. The enemy's trying to destroy lives in this place right now. In the body of Christ, he wants to destroy people. And we've got to get it. We've got to understand that we've got to endure to the end. It's a battle. It's a race. You can any analogy you want to use here. But it's not going to be easy. I have tried running some. I don't like it much. I'd rather do something like playing basketball to get exercise. It's a lot more fun. But I can tell you this, that if you committed yourself to running, you better do it every day, consistently. However you need to train, maybe every other day. I don't know what the training regimen would be for that. But I can tell you, you better stay on track. Because if you're not careful, you miss one day, oh, it's raining outside, I'm going to go back to sleep. The next day, the sun's shining too much, I'm going to go back to sleep. The next day, I just don't feel like it, you know? And before long, you're not doing it anymore. That's the Christian walk here. That's the analogy that we're using. If you're not careful, before long, you've walked away from the one who died on the cross for you. We don't want that. We want to endure to the end. God has called us to endure, but he's also called us to lift each other up, so that we can endure. You see, faith is important. We share our faith with each other, build each other up. Proper character is important, and sometimes we have to point out to somebody, hey, that's not godly. That's not the way you should be living your life. That's not to condemn. My goodness, that's to build up, that's to lift up, that's to encourage. We need to be open to hearing those things from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, you didn't handle that exactly the way Christ would want you to do that. That don't mean, you know, we shouldn't attack that person. But we should be willing to encourage and lift up. Character. Love. Walk in, ultimately, in love. I've been reading a book. I'm going to wrap up here with this last story. I've been reading a book called Love Works. And it's And I got to tell you, it's just one of the books that I'm reading. I read a little bit here, read a little bit there, read a little bit over there. But anyhow, this book is by a guy by the name of Joel Manby. And Joel is the CEO of a corporation called Hershine Family Entertainment. And I picked this book up when we were on vacation. And we went to Silver Dollar City, I think it is. Anyhow, it's a theme park, is what it is. And at that theme park, they happen to have this book displayed, and I picked it up and read a little bit of it, and I realized that this guy's a Christian. So I wanted to hear what he said, because he was talking to corporations. He was talking to CEOs and leaders of businesses. And I wanted to see what he had to say about it. And basically what he taught was that love is important even in the business world. And it will work. It will cause a corporation to be successful. And he pointed out that the two guys that he took their place, the Hershine brothers, they retired and they hired him as the CEO, that they walked in the ultimate kind of love, the agape kind of love, which is action love, regardless of feelings, in their leadership model in business. And he said it when he was hired, or right before he was hired, he went to several of their facilities, and he talked to the people who was working for them. And he found out that these men did actually apply love to their leadership style. And the people that worked for them loved them, cared about them, and wanted to work for that corporation. That's a little different than most people these days, right? Most corporations being taken advantage of, people running over top of people, not paying proper wages, all kinds of things. But they loved in action. And that book, Love Works, is a wonderful example to the business world of how men, godly men, should rise to positions of authority in the corporate world and show what Jesus Christ wants in business. Amen. Love works. And I can tell you this morning, you have need of endurance, and love works. Works for you. It works for me. Stand with me this morning. We have need of endurance. Some of us are worn out. I mean, we're just completely beat down and worn out. The enemy's been beating us up. The enemy's been lying. He's telling us things, and sometimes we listen to what he has to say. That's why it's so important to renew our mind. But regardless, God has answers for you. Today, I want you to know, you are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Put your faith in the living God. He has promised you that he has ordered your steps. Your steps are already ordered. All you had to do is walk in them. Yes, the enemy's going to come along and he's going to try to beat you down. He's going to try to tell you lies and deceive you. But the truth is, our God is great and mighty and powerful. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Today, I want you to know you are victorious. It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't feel like it. But victory is in Jesus. Please bow your head with me. Hallelujah. I want to ask prayer warriors to come up. Hallelujah. We're going to do things a little different this morning, because I know that there's people going through stuff. That's what we're going to concentrate on this morning. We're going to concentrate on lifting people up. And we're going to encourage. We're going to pray for, and we're going to let God do a work in your life. I know the enemy wants he just totally wants to destroy you. He wants you to lead you away from the path that God has established for your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything about you. But he's a liar and a thief. And we're going to stand on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, together, we're going to believe and see God move in mighty ways. It's not going to be easy. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm telling you it's real. God will do it. Hallelujah. Everyone just bow your head right now. If you'd like to have prayer, just come on up right now. Our prayer warriors pray for you. I'll pray for you. If you need strength this morning, come up right now so that we can strengthen you, encourage you. There's no shame in needing encouragement. None at all.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about the ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at bethelwc.org. Have a blessed day.